In this 19th chapter, we're going, as we have seen throughout the Old Testament, through Genesis, through Deuteronomy, the grace of God continues to be seen. Though here in Exodus we read of how they said, all that you say we will do. He gave them the law to show them that they couldn't keep it. Even in that, there is still grace. We're going to see the grace of God here tonight. How the Lord provides in every aspect of our life. He provides for every aspect of all of His children. No matter who they are, what they are, He has a provision for each one of them. Let's begin with verse 1 tonight of this chapter. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case or the matter of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities, and live, lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer, while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. In these verses that we just read, Moses is instructing the second generation of God's provision when they are in the land. Notice in verse 2, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land. It's when they got to Canaan. Once they crossed Jordan, they became possessors of that land. This is what he wanted them to do. In verse 2, he says, separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land. Three cities. These cities, as we will see, are the three cities of refuge on the Canaan side. Let's turn to Numbers. We'll be going back and forth from Numbers 35 tonight, from Deuteronomy 19. I would like to begin Numbers 35 and verse 1. We'll see where these cities of refuge, how they were provided to the slayer. In verse 1 of chapter 35 of Numbers, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also unto the Levite suburbs or pasture ground for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle, for their goods, and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. Among the cities ye shall give unto the Levites. Notice what's mentioned first here in verse 6. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge. They were for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which he shall give to the Levite shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. Notice that their cities of refuge were stated first, because God knew there would be a need. The city of refuge, I looked up what the word refuge means. It means a place of reception, a place of safety, in which the manslayer was secured. Once the manslayer reached that city of refuge, he was safe. as long as he was safe, as long as he stayed within those city limits. The minute he stepped out of those city limits, he had no refuge. He had to stay in those city limits, because as long as he was in those city limits, he was safe from the Avenger. And we'll look at the Avenger here in a little bit. Christ is our city of refuge. Just as the manslayer was safe as long as he remained in one of the cities of refuge, same with us. As long as we walk in the light, we stay in the limits or the boundaries that God's word has set forth, we are safe. The minute we step out of those boundaries, who's out there to get us? The enemy. He'll use whatever means, because he's watching. He knows when we step one foot out of that city of refuge. Christ is our refuge. Let's begin with Psalm 46:1. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's turn to Psalm 62. I like this one. Psalm 62 and the 6th verse. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Let's look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and I would like to read the 2nd verse. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Those manslayers that flew, and they flew, we're going to see why they had to flee to that city of refuge as quick as they could. But we flee to him. We flee to our Lord. Let's turn to Psalms 142. We're safe there. We can't be any safer than when we're in Christ. Psalm 142, and we're going to read the 5th verse. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He is our refuge. In Numbers 35, I would like to read from verse 9. We'll be going back here to Deuteronomy. Numbers 35. Now remember, they're in the plain of Moab here in Deuteronomy 2. Moses is instructing the second generation for when they get into the land. He's not going with them. He's instructing them. This is the same place that he is here in Numbers 35. Numbers 35, and we'll begin with the 9th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint, and this word appoint means to make suitable selection, you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, 6 cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give 3 cities on this side Jordan, and 3 cities ye shall give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, the Gentile, and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Now, we read, let's turn back, keep your finger, Numbers 35, we'll be coming back. But in Deuteronomy 4, Moses, he named those 3 cities of refuge on the east side of Jordan. In Numbers 4:41, Deuteronomy 4 and the 41st verse. Then Moses severed or separated 3 cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live. And in verse 43, we have the names of the 3 cities of refuge. Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. Those were the 3 cities on the east side of Jordan. As I thought about this, these that stayed on the east side of Jordan, the 2.5 tribes, they didn't want to cross Jordan. They didn't want to go down into death in type and come up a new creation with the 9.5 tribes. But yet God made provision for them. They belonged to Him. They knew, He knew their hearts. He knew they would choose to stay on the east side of Jordan. Therefore, He made provision for them. Let's take it on down to us. We have, let's turn to Revelation 3. God in His grace, and that's all it is, made provision for every one of His children. He leaves the choice up to each one of them, but yet He makes provision because He knew the choice that they would make. And I do remember Grandma Nito always said that we choose the rank that we're going to be in. But yet God provides for us in that rank. He provided for the ones that chose to have the best. In Revelation 3 and the 10th verse, these are of the Philadelphia assembly, those that have kept, because thou, in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him, no, notice this is a choice, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. This is the choice of a full overcomer. This is what his reward, this is his provision that God has made for him. Okay, we know those in the assembly at Ephesus, some of them left their first love. They fell down into the second rank. God made provision for them too. Let's look over in Revelation 7. They're saved, yes, some may even be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they can't cut those ties with the world. That's where their love is. Okay, Revelation 7 and verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. This is the second rank. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Notice they're not a part of the throne. They're before the throne and serve him night and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. He made provision for those that desire to be in the second rank. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy. Now we want to notice in the second verse, he told them to separate three cities. We know that Moses named the three cities on the east side of Jordan, but we have no names for the cities of refuge in Canaan, but the provision is made for them. We're going to learn here in a little bit that Joshua is the one that named the three cities of refuge in Canaan. Now, in the midst, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, in the midst of Canaan. And this midst here means in the middle of the land, equally distanced apart, so that there was a city of refuge available to all that needed a city of refuge. There was not one city of refuge far away from anybody. They had one readily accessible. No matter where they were, they could flee to one of those cities of refuge. Then we read here in verse 3, thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. Now, this word prepare, it means to establish. They were to establish a particular way to get to these cities of refuge. This way here, it means a way which leads to a particular place, a path in which one goes often. They had to establish a path from every city in Canaan. They had to have a path going directly to one of these three cities in Canaan. That path had to be marked. They couldn't say, well, what's that path? That path had to be clearly marked. We have the path clearly marked today. We have Ephesians 4:11 that says, and he gave the pastors and the teachers, the evangelists, the prophets, and the apostles. They're the road crew. They're the ones that keep that road open. They make sure there's no check holes. They make sure that there's no boulders, no stumbling stone that fleer can't get to Christ. They're the road crew. They're the ones that are needed. They're the ones, by preaching the word, by preaching the unadulterated word of God, they're the ones that keep the road signs. That's the way to the city of refuge. That's the way. Every crossroad in Canaan was to have a sign stating the way to the city of refuge. They would not be without excuse, oh, I don't know where the city of refuge is. They couldn't say that. And that's the same way God's people is today. They cannot say, I didn't know. We've got the word. We've got the road crew that is keeping the road open, proclaiming God's truth. They were to divide. This word divide, thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coasts of thy land into three parts, that every, not just one or two slayer, but every slayer may flee thither. This divide here means to distinguish, to separate into three parts, and each part had a city of refuge in it. Now I would like to turn to Joshua 20. These three cities in the land of Canaan, they speak of God's side, what he has done. Joshua 20, this is who the Lord appointed to name the three cities in Canaan. Verse 1 of chapter 20 of Joshua. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, that they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. Those elders, those Levites, remember the Levites lived in those cities of refuge. When someone came that had slain someone ignorantly, not premeditative, they would welcome them into this city. In verse 5, and if the avenger of blood pursue after him, they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, and that is very important. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh and Galilee and Mount Naphtali, or they sanctified. They set these cities apart. And Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali. Kadesh here, it means a sanctuary of the wrestler. Galilee means a circle or circuits, and it speaks of the wheel of God's government. And then Naphtali, his name means wrestlings. The restless man within, which the Holy Spirit awakens when he speaks, is met by a refuge, met by Christ, and he rests. In Matthew 11:20, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. We go unto Christ for our rest. Then in Shechem, we have Shechem, which is in Mount Ephraim. Shechem means shoulder, and we know the shoulder speaks of strength. It is in Mount Ephraim. Ephraim means I shall be doubly fruitful. Now at Mount Ephraim, on one side stood Ebal, on the city of Shechem. On one side of the city of Shechem stood Ebal, the other side Gerizim. The two mounts where the curses and the blessings of the law were proclaimed after Israel entered the land of Canaan. This city, Shechem, speaks of Jesus Christ as the servant of God, doing his Father's will, bearing all the requirements of the law. And he did that at the cross. And because he did that at the cross, he's been doubly fruitful ever since. He was blessed. He took many sons to glory with him. Then we have Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Hebron is in the mountain of Judah. And I have scripture to prove that Hebron, in fact, was a mountain, and that's in Joshua 14:12, when Caleb says, give me that mountain. That was what he was promised, and he said, give me that mountain. Then also we see in Joshua 15:48 that Hebron was, in fact, in the mountains of Judah. Now, Hebron, this city of Hebron represents communion. Christ, the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, from Colossians 2:9, is our dwelling place. Not only are we safe, we're in a city of refuge, but we have communion with him. Sister Bodie had a note on this. She says, in these three cities, Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron, these three cities of refuge in Canaan, God is displayed as a sanctuary for our spirit. There's Kadesh. Power for our service. There's Shechem. And satisfaction for our heart, and that is Hebron. Because the whole man, body, soul, and spirit, is provided for in Christ. Kadesh was up here. Kadesh is clear up here in Naphtali. Shechem is down here. We see Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim on each side of Shechem. Then Hebron is down here, divided into three parts. Anyone in any one of these tribes, any of these cities, they could very easily get to one of the cities of refuge. God had a purpose in doing what he did. Now we want to note that each of these cities of refuge, did you notice they one was in Mount Naphtali, one in Mount Ephraim, and then Hebron was on a mountain. Each one of these cities of refuge were on a mountain. Anytime you climb a mountain, it takes strength to get up to the city of refuge. But that didn't matter to them. They were running for their lives. The avenger of blood was tailing them, and they had to flee to that city of refuge. They didn't care what it took to get there, because once they got there, they were safe. To me, that spoke of bringing your body into subjection to the will of the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9. Paul felt the same way. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Because these slayers, they had to keep their body under. They had killed someone unawares or by error. It was an accident. Yes, the relatives of those that were slain were upset. A little more than, I have to use a stronger word than upset. But they went after to avenge their relative. This slayer had to get to where he was going. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul brought his body into subjection to do the will of the Lord. Let's look at Deuteronomy in verses 4 to 6 now. We read these verses. In the fourth verse it says, and this is the case, and I looked in the Hebrew, and this case is the matter. And this is the matter of the slayer. We have a slayer is one that takes a life, one who kills. As we're going to look in Numbers 35, we have an example of one who kills intentionally or deliberately. He is a murderer. Let's look at Numbers 35, what is to be done to him. He's not going to just have his hand slapped like they do today. This is the one, whether it's male or female, the one who kills deliberately. Let's look at Numbers 35 and the 16th verse. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with a throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by a laying of weight, that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. The murderer had no protection. Then we have one who... And we read this in Deuteronomy. We also have this in Numbers 35, verses 22 and 23. But if he push him suddenly without enmity or without hatred, or have cast him upon anything without lying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his arm. Then we read also over here in verse 5 of Deuteronomy 19, they go out to the woods to cut wood, and we'll get to that. But anyway, we have two, a slayer who kills intentionally, and one who kills as a result of an accident. This ignorantly, who's in verse 4, whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past. This ignorantly means literally without knowledge. In Numbers 35, we read if someone kills unawares, that is also a mistake or an error. Accidents happen. We'll read this fifth verse again, and I'll bring out what the Hebrew had this, though. It helps us to understand this verse better. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to cut wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with an axe, or in the Hebrew this reads, that is, lifts up the axe to cut down a tree. All he does is lift the axe up. And then, and the head slippeth from the helve and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die. In the Hebrew this is, and if the head of the axe should slip from the wooden handle. And that happened. I have seen that happen. An axe, you pick it up and the head falls off. Well, in this case, if he picks it up and it lands, if he must pick it up with great strength, and he flings it and it hits his neighbor and kills him, that man took a life. He would have to flee. In the last part of that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. He would flee to one of the cities of refuge because he didn't mean to kill this person. It was an accident. He's not worthy of death because there was no hatred. This flee here means to flit, or that is, vanish away, and I'm sure he would escape from the avenger of blood. Now in verse 6, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot. The avenger of blood, according to Oriental law of kinship, that is, to be next of kin, the avenger required blood, that is, to avenge bloodshed, to require penalty of bloodshed. In the Hebrew, it's called the ghoul. The avenger of blood had the right. This was his right to avenge his kin. Yes, kinsman redeemer. Now, the reason for the three cities, the avenger would pursue. Pursue means to run after, usually with hostile intent. Now, the central sanctuary was no doubt down here at Jerusalem. Okay? If he would have had to flee clear up to Shechem, or if he would have had to flee clear up to Kadesh, The Avenger could have overtaken him and killed him right there, depending on where, if the Slayer could have been up in here. If he would have had gone clear down Jerusalem to the central sanctuary, he could have been killed. But he has a city of refuge right close to wherever he can go, because this man was not worthy of death. He killed accidentally. Let's look over in Numbers 35, the Levites. Then in verse 7, he says, "Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee." The Lord had a reason for this. Numbers 35, this just wasn't any man that decided whether you were guilty of murder or guilty of an accident. In verse 24 of Numbers 35, then once these Levites received this manslayer, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. The Levites who lived in these cities of refuge, they would decide the matter, and they would decide the motive behind the action that had just taken place. They would stay till the death of the high priest, and this high priest spoke of Jesus, who made atonement for each one of us. He is the high priest that died. He released us from the guilt of sin. He became sin. Therefore, once he died, he released us from the guilt of sin. Then we go on down in verses 8 and 9 of Deuteronomy 19. We want to note what is said here. Okay, we have the three cities in the provision for three cities of refuge in Canaan once they get into the land. And in verse 8, "And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add three more cities more for thee, besides these three." We want to notice that there's two ifs here. If in verse 8 and an if in verse 9. It presents a condition. Are you going to keep your end? Are you going to do what you're supposed to do? Let's turn to Numbers 34. In Numbers 34, one, the whole chapter, and we're not going to read it tonight, but you can in your own personal study. This gives the outline of the borders of the 9.5 tribes, of what each one was going to get by lot. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, though. Chapter 34, 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall by the lot unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan, with the boundaries thereof. The Lord set boundaries for each tribe to inherit." But Israel never actually possessed all the territory within these boundaries. We read Wednesday night of Abram. Let's turn to Genesis 15 and read the promise that was given to him of grace. The promise of grace. This is the land that was promised to Abram and his seed. But they never actually possessed it all. In verse 18 of chapter 15 of Genesis, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant unto Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates," that is the width, "from the river of Egypt clear over to the river Euphrates." Then in verse 19, "The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." We have the link is from Dan to Beersheba. We know today that the land of Lebanon, the land of Syria, the land of Iraq, that is all part of the the boundaries that God gave to Abraham, we know Israel has a little sliver right next to the Mediterranean, and that's all. In Deuteronomy 12:20, I would like to read there right quick. Deuteronomy 12:20, when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul desires to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. God promised to enlarge their borders, but under the legal covenant, they could not possess the land. They were under law. They were under a legal agreement with God. The law limits the work of God. Remember how the law was given to show up? They said, all that you say we will do. Well, they had to be shown that they couldn't keep it. The law was given to show up sin. When we put limits upon what God wants to do or give us, we become legal in spirit, which hinders his grace working in our heart. When we say, Lord, you can only do, I only let you do this. I'll only let you do that. Well, we're putting limits on him. We can't do that. Let's turn to Acts 20:32 and see the only way that we're going to receive our inheritance. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. It's the grace of God that works in our hearts, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, we have another if there in verse 9. If thou wilt keep. See, he's going to enlarge the land if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk ever in his ways. Then, notice the word then, shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee besides thee. The condition of God enlarging their borders depended on them obeying his word and loving him preeminently. It is the same with each one of us. We gain more of our heavenly inheritance as we obey his word and we love him preeminently. God made provision for 3 more cities of refuge. Had they obeyed him, had they gone clear over to the river Euphrates, he would have appointed 3 more cities of refuge. And that would have been under grace. It was all promised under grace. Remember what God told Abram? From the river of Egypt, clear over to the river Euphrates. And this provision still exists for this nation of Israel. But they'll receive it once they accept him as their Messiah, their anointed one. Then they'll inhabit all the land that was given to Abraham. And what a day that's going to be when they recognize him whom they pierced and they accept him as who he truly is.
Yes.